Let's turn to our next number, 477. Number 477. For Brother James, we'll have our devotions at this time.
Good evening, everyone. I suppose you can appreciate my large stack of books that I'm bringing up here. Kind of put the fear into you that this might take a while. It's a blessing already to be here this evening. Thinking of that first song we sang, "Since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me," immediately triggered me back to my youth when a man named Sanford Yoder was having meetings, and that was his theme song he would sing every night at a little mission church in Canton, Ohio. Now, I can't remember if we had him back another time or if it was this time, but if it was only once, that was the time that he also would come to school and talk to us students and tell us about life in Oklahoma and horses to ride and different stories he had that were very interesting. And like I say, I don't know if he was there once or twice, but at least one of those times I heard, well, he needs to go to Geauga County for a wedding. Well, that didn't bother me. I didn't know whose wedding that was. I didn't realize it was the beginnings of the Ozark Mennonite Church because it was for Paul and Susie's wedding. So he went, he was asked to preach. They were glad to have a visiting preacher, I guess, come and preach for him. And so that's, and on that second song, "Such Love," I love the way you sopranos hit that "Such Love" in the chorus. I commend you for that. This last verse, last song, did you notice that Fanny Crosby, a blind lady, writing these words, talks about visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Isn't that a beautiful expression? I think it is. All right. For our opening, let's read Psalms 100, just for an opening and a responsive reading. If enough of you have your Bibles, maybe you'll know it by heart already. And without even looking, we should know a little bit of what the first line is. Make a joyful noise. I'll read the first verse, and I want you to read the second one, and then so on for this short one, and I want you to read with a certain amount of enthusiasm, that you have some joy in your heart. We heard this morning about a church, you know, being alive, signs of a live church. I read an account that George R. Brunk, Sr., in the book that spoke a lot about him, he mentioned that one of his stories he had was one time there was a local church burning down, and here someone was surprised to find a local atheist there, which in those days, I think atheists were marked a little bit more. And he wondered why he's there helping with the church. He said it's the first time he's seen the church on fire. Well, how about it? Is there any fire in our bosom? Let's express it by the way you read it, promptly, with expression and clarity. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's just have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Lord's Day you have given to us. Thank you for the songs of the redeemed. And I just pray that you would help us tonight to bless and edify one another and to glorify your name, dear Lord, and that we would have a joyful song that starts somewhere deep inside of us, that comes out through our voices, through our person, through our very involvement in all that we're doing here this evening. May you be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to say a little bit about something about song books this evening. Since we have hymn sing, I'd like to say a little bit of something about music, and what I'd like to do is give you a few thoughts about the Christian hymnal tonight. And so I'm also going to read the very opening comments that we have in this book in the preface. If you want to follow along, you may do that. Page number 5, it says on a real small letter on the bottom there. Song service is one of the most beautiful ways in which children of God join with heart and voice in expressing their love, praise, and adoration to God, their Maker. Through song, the soul's deep need, its struggles, joys, and contentment are expressed. Spiritual songs and hymns reveal to us the deity of God and his plan of salvation given to a lost world. In song, we implore God for his convicting spirit to arouse sinners to repentance and to give inspiration to a more noble walk of life. Song also is prayer to God for deliverance, guidance, and keeping. In April 1956, the General Conference of the Church of God in Christ, Mennonite, adopted a resolution to revise the Christian hymnal. The following brethren were chosen as the committee: Alvin J. Becker, Reuben Buller, Aidan F. Holdeman, Henry E. Friesen, P.G. Hubert, P.F. Barkman, Jesse Dirks, J.D. Taves, J.G. Lowen, and Howard Schneider. I can truthfully say I didn't know any of these brethren. They immediately organized and prepared for accepting appropriate song to be used in this extensive hymnal. They realized this was a worthy cause and that a heavy responsibility was entrusted to them. They implored the Lord for guidance and discretion, the acceptance of hymns sound in doctrine and having lasting value. It has been their endeavor to make a wide range of selections suitable for all occasions of religious worship in the church: Sunday school, home, evangelistic meetings, etc. Special emphasis was placed on old favorites, which have stood the test of usefulness. However, valuable later compositions were also accepted. The committee gratefully acknowledges the kind cooperation of all who sent in selections and gave of their time and valuable counsel, and to authors, composers, and publishers of copyrighted materials who kindly granted permission to use such materials. Every effort has been made to determine ownership. The publishers desire to express their regret if any infringement has been made. Upon notification, they will be glad to make proper acknowledgement. This volume is sent forth with a sincere prayer that God may bless it to his name's honor. All right. Now, the very first time that I came to Missouri, which was in a bleak month of February, I can't remember what hymn book was used in the church, but I know that by the time I came back in June, a new songbook had been evidently recently adopted in this church, and it was the Christian hymnal. Before that, the church hymnal had already been in use, so it was displaced with this one, and we didn't keep both. Over the years, that has been a lot of blessed songs in there, and it has some very nice songs that are not found in the church hymnal. On the whole, it is probably a little more elementary work, however, than the church hymnal. That does not dissipate from some of the songs that are in there. Many of them are replicated. In fact, on the very first morning or the very first Sunday that we had the church hymnal back in church, now I don't know if it was the very first number or the first request, but a dear brother announced that he would like to have song number one in the church hymnal, he mentioned. Well, it seems that there's both the same number on number one in both the Christian hymnal and church hymnal, but at least we sang out of the church hymnal on that particular song. You know, singing has been such an integral part of my life that I thought of it this morning when Joe was speaking of brotherhood and friendship, and I realized that in my own life I had this little baggage that I took with me everywhere I went. And that is, my best friends were generally people that liked to sing, and I sang with them. So that morphed into the fact that more and more anybody that liked to sing, that was the people that I wanted to be friends with. And so singing was important to me, and that was not all bad. What wasn't as good is that I found a time in my life there as I was growing up that it was difficult for me to even relate to someone that didn't like to sing. So that's the part, believe it or not, that I've worked at growing in that endeavor, that brotherhood can go past someone that doesn't like to sing, if they don't like to sing. What's difficult for me about that is I think every Christian should have a song. I think it's so integral to our testimony, to our experience. However, for some, it may be harder work than others, and I can empathize with you because as I've gotten older, instead of singing, there was a time in my life I really couldn't understand how people had colds and couldn't sing or whatever. I just couldn't really relate to that. Didn't know what it meant hardly, basically, unless I was deadly sick. But no, it was singing. Love to sing. And not that I was ever that good at it, but I enjoyed it. Anyhow, now about the Christian hymnal, just a few more words. Thinking now of a brother that I don't know, speaking to one of my boys, and this particular man loved the Christian hymnal. What he did not love was the Holderman Mennonites. But I guess he didn't know that, you know, they had printed this book. And actually, you know, it's a challenge to me that just down the road from us a little ways here, there is a Holderman Mennonite Church, and we have used the songbook of their conference for more or less 50 years now. I think it would be really nice if we just invite them over and have a little hymn sing with them some evening and a little fellowship in that way. They probably are as close to us as in belief as any group for miles around, although we have connections with our Baptist friends, with our Amish friends, all these people. I think it would be a nice move. Now, neither the church hymnal nor the Christian hymnal has a does not actually have as much of an emphasis as a few other books do on songs of Anabaptist origin, which is not, I'm just giving it as a fact. They have some. And both of them have songs of great value, and I'd like to sing a few of these songs tonight that are not in the church hymnal. Let's pick them right out of this. A little another story of trivia. Amongst our Overholt family, whenever we travel anywhere, there is really only one frame of reference usually that people ask about if they hear my name is Overholt. They say, well, do you know John Overholt? Well, yes, I did know John Overholt. And John, of course, was a hymn writer himself and published a book of his own, which he also had a large emphasis in that book on some of our Anabaptist songs, including the Loblied, which I don't know if he had in both German and English, but I think it's in there. Interestingly enough to me, when I visit even other churches, even evangelical churches, if they have a hymnal, I like to look at their hymnal. And in the earlier years, at our local Baptist church here, the Baptist church in Seymour had the English version of the Loblied in it. None of our songbooks do. Isn't that interesting? The foundation song of the Amish and Anabaptists, particularly in this little book called the Ausbund, a little songbook full of songs without music. Now, saying just something about a songbook without music. Those are good as well, especially familiar songs, and we can sing them, and it's a blessing to us. However, I believe that any group, on a group-wide basis, who wants to embrace a songbook without notes is giving a message of a low expectation musically. And is music important? Yes, it's important. It's important how it's done. And it reminds me a little bit of those garments that the Lord gave instructions, I think it was to Aaron and Moses, how Aaron's garments were supposed to look. And if you've read in that in there, you'll see that it says that they were designed for two things. One was for glory, the other was for beauty. So, do our feeble efforts register with the Most High? Not necessarily. But I believe beauty is one of the characteristics of God Himself, and that there's a valuable place for it, and it's a gift too that's been given to us. So, for a few songs then. Oh, I want to just give this song about John Overholt, since I mentioned him, this story about him. So, when John Overholt died and they were having the visitation and so on, why, one of the boys noticed that he really had, his head was not quite right, so they picked up a Christian hymnal and put it under his head and left it there, and eventually, after he was buried, they figured out that maybe none of them had ever gotten it back off of there again. And so evidently he died with a Christian hymnal under his head, when he didn't think as highly of that particular edition as he did of some others, which for those of us that know him, consider that a little bit of interesting trivia. Just a few things, other things about songbooks. I was looking at a Christian hymnal we had at the house, I think, some years ago. This particular song has maybe close to 250,000 editions put out. That's a lot of songbooks. I don't know how many church hymnal ones. I was sorry I didn't get this. I saw our church hymnals we have here have a number you can call. I've got two editions of the church hymnal here. One is the one we got, my wife got from her family. This is a 1956 edition. And in this particular edition, it says 13th edition, 121,000, printed in both shaped and round notes. Now, some of the earlier church hymnals, I don't know if they're still available today, often had a German edition to the back. Our songbooks in Hartville, Ohio had that. And then here in this book, it says here, shaped note, 13th printing, 1960, 160,000. Printed in both shaped and round notes. I don't know if that means additional or if that's a total. At least there were a lot of those songbooks put out. Here's another little book you may not know about, Pilgrim's Progress. Yeah, Pilgrim's Praises. And the neat thing about this particular songbook is if you're somebody that needs source material, I'd like to read something to you that says inside this book. This book is not copyrighted. nor is it to be copyrighted. Most of the songs are already in public domain, and a part of this book may be copied or reproduced, with the exception of materials still under copyright or used by permission. Those are usually mentioned right on the page. To reproduce such materials, please contact the copyright holders or those who have granted permission. So to me, that is a very valuable resource to have. You can find many of the songs that are found in either one of our hymnals, and you can go ahead and conscientiously, without a twinge, make a copy of these. And we've been a bit on the careless side about how careful we are about that. It could turn around and sting us sometime, not that I'm hoping it will. All right, having said all those things, I'd like to point out a few songs that, this is just a few of the ones that are different in the church hymnal that have made an impact on me, and I'd like to sing all of these tonight if I can sometime here. One of them is number 318, Not What These Hands Have Done. Then there's a song, Therefore Give Us Love. And then there is the one, The Time for Toil is Past. Can't remember what the title of that one is, And Night Has Come. I think that one was introduced to us by the Glenn Hostetler family singing it right out of our own hymnal for us. And it's a song that has blessed me over the years. It blesses me and gives me pause at the same time. Some of you might remember when the chorus used to sing that, and we used to have Deanna Scarry sing a solo on part of that. Very nice. So, let's see, I don't have my correct list here. I know there's a couple more here somewhere. Or one or two more, but let's turn to number 318. We'll sing that one for our first number here once in the Christian hymnal. One other interesting thing about the Christian hymnal, I worked for a man once who was not a Mennonite, but he told me he collected hymnals, and so I mentioned the Christian hymnal to him, and we went into his library, and he looked, and after a while, he pulled one out. He had it. So do any of us have a large collection of Christian hymnals or just church hymnals? A whole library full of them, we remember. 318, Not What These Hands Have Done, a beautiful, meaningful expression of our neediness and of the importance of the work of the Lord. Oh, not what these hands have done can save his guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh and bone can make thy spirit whole. Thy work alone, my Savior, can I pray. 541 yet, quickly. 541. Therefore, give us love. All right, beautiful words. A little bit different music. Nice as well. Oh, gracious Spirit, Holy Ghost, taught by thee, we come at most of thy gifts at Pentecost, holy heavenly love.
Love is kind and suffers long.
Love is meek and thinks no children come forward, and Esther will lead them in some numbers of song. This is the junior choir of the Ozark Mennonite Church here. Thank you.
Thank you, Esther, and the children for those songs. Let's turn in our Christian hymnal to song number 25. And after this song, we'll look to Caitlin, she has a group. Song number 25.
All I need.
Thank you, young ladies, for sharing those numbers with us. Truly, Christ alone is our only hope, and I would encourage you just to keep doing that, and our young men as well. I talked to one of our young men this morning that I knew had been maybe working on having a group, and he said, well, maybe next month he'll have it ready. So I said, should I announce it this evening so you can plan on it? But he didn't want to go that far. So I'm going to deviate now. I've got a couple of songs that are not in the Christian hymnal we need to sing tonight, and probably have some of you have some to do yet too. But ask how many books do we have here with the song Master of the Tempest is Raging? Got a bunch of them? If you don't have it, those of you that have one, try and share it as much as you can, and let's see if we can sing it. I don't know what number it is in your book, so I don't know you was going there. But find it in your books. Master, the Tempest is Raging. This is a song that is in open public domain. And it's probably those of you that, most of you will know at least some of it. And if those of you who have the books will sing it with your heart and strength. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. Is that your experience now? It could easily be. Many of us are facing things and have things that are locked up inside us, maybe that we don't want to tell anybody that we're fighting, or just burdens, whatever they may be. It's important on a song like this, especially this is a song written in 6/8 time, it's going to be, should need more of a flow, and we don't want to pound each word, but you should actually sing them a little bit like you're speaking them, where you fluidly speak a line of words. You don't go each master the tempest, but master the tempest. All right, are you ready? If you're all on key, we're ready. Well, let's give this a try. O do mi so right, master the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is overshadowed, there's no shelter nor help. Second verse, and I need a drink of water, hate to tell you. I could need a lot more than that. For those of you that don't have a book, Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Oh, waken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep over my sinking soul, and I perish. I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control.
Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The death of my water can swallow the ship where lies the master of
Rick, I think, or Micah. Anybody have a few songs for us? Bring the people up.
Thank you.
Well, I love that thought that the answer is yes. And children, I'll just tell you, the first time you got up here and announced that you were going to sing that song Omega some time ago, I thought surely it couldn't be that one. But I'm glad you did it, and it's a beautiful song. God bless you for your efforts there. All right, 294 in the church hymnal. This song has been a blessing to us in recent times by hearing the Altar of Praise Chorale sing this song, and that's why we've been introducing it, and we want to sing it again this evening. Hark the Song of Jubilee. This is a song about the kingdom, if you look at the heading up there. And one thing we want to realize in these troubled times, politically and otherwise, that the world is not spinning out of control. God is still in control. And his kingdom is the one that's going to go on. Hark the Song of Jubilee. Now there's, looking at the text, verse 3, the first score there, there's one of those five-cylinder words there. We want to get that one right. Illimitable. Illimitable. You want to pronounce that with me? Illimitable. Try again. Illimitable. All right. Be ready for that word when we get there. Hark the Song of Jubilee. We'll sing a softer toned one right after this one, but as you can see, I'm kind of a musical wreck this evening, but I'm making a joyful noise anyhow. So I'll be glad for your help and, you know, sing by the letter. Open her mouth and let her fly. Oh, do mi so do, hark the song of Jubilee, let my thunders roar, o'er the fullness of the sea, where it breaks up the shore. I'd like to lead one more song out of the Christian hymnal. I'm not going to get to all the ones that I wanted to. Forget the number here. 581. This is a sobering song. Song with a powerful message to all of us. Speaks of those who are getting older, worn out with labor, long and wearisome. Drooping and faint, the reapers hasten home, each laden with his sheaves. 581. Maybe on the last verse here, we could be ready to have the chorus come on up and share what you have for us. Hope you have three or four numbers ready, or five or six, whatever it takes to give us a good diet yet on that this evening. Oh,
that I put all is past and night is gone.
out of the house before. I don't know. I guess not. I owe a tremendous amount to my family for my love of singing. And we have one song that I picked for my dad, and I think he's not here. So I'll speak to him about that. But anyway, he rates my dad. I probably credit my dad just about as much as he credit my mom for pushing me to sing and to do singing events and things like that. And I look back on that and I really appreciate it. Number 75, singing, I think I'll have to join us in the last.